Thank you. Once again, welcome to St. Mary's Cathedral. We're honored and so privileged to have all of you here this evening. I won't reiterate the things I was mumbling earlier in the evening about the church, but one thing that we're very pleased about is that His Beatitude has been able to carve a bit of his time out to be with us on this very important anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the repose of St. Alexis, who was instrumental in bringing about a change in the demographics, the perception, the reality of Orthodoxy in America. And for that we give thanks to God that He graced us with such a wonderful saint who was, we call him St. Alexis of Minneapolis here, but of course he has another name because he's also St. Alexis of Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre. I'm not sure how they pronounce. John, how do they pronounce Wilkes-Barre? Wilkes-Barre or Barre. Well, you see, there's a controversy even there between the proper pronunciation of a Pennsylvanian city. So, a deeply significant moment in our church life, and a significant moment met by another significant moment, which is the appearance on the scene of a very young metropolitan, a newly elected metropolitan, who became the metropolitan of our Orthodox Church in America in a kind of gracious moment several months ago in November in Pittsburgh at our Sobor, something that was generally unexpected but thoroughly welcomed by all the faithful of the church. And we're so pleased with fresh and ever new manifestations of grace that bring about delightful changes in the life of the church. Can do that. And His Beatitude's biography has been printed everywhere, and perhaps even too much, but you can find it online and so on. But I just want to say that his theological formation took place primarily at St. Vladimir's Seminary and at the Vallam Monastery. So he brings together both academic and monastic theology. That is, he not only thinks about theological issues, but he prays. He prays. So it's a wonderful thing when the head and the heart are united in a theological endeavor in that manner. And we're very grateful for that kind of a character in the primacy of our church. It sets an example. It sets a standard. And I hope it will continue for a long time to be, may it be many, many years, a long time to be a real challenge for clergy and laity, for all the faithful of the church, to have greater intentionality in their Orthodox Christian faith, to take it more seriously, that it's not just an aspect of their life, but that their Orthodox Christian faith, their utter dependence on God and His grace, becomes part of the fabric of our very living and breathing. That's very important for us. And I believe that His grace, with the help of God, can keep that ever in front of our minds. I'm also very grateful to any number of people who have done lovely things. For example, the Boris Hansen Committee, who have underwrite this lecture series, and there's a wonderful reception prepared across the street with lots of good food. I hope you didn't eat too much at dinner, because there really is a groaning table across the street that I hope you'll join us for afterwards. And that Boris Hansen Committee has really lived up to the purposes of that trust in furthering the education of parishioners and the local community by sponsoring events like this and by sponsoring scholarships for secondary education and professional and graduate schools. So we're very grateful to them. Oh, I don't know. There are cooks and bottle washers and cleaners. You all know who you are. And actually, God doesn't want us to be put in the spotlight, because all the acts that we do to build up the church are done humbly to His glory, not ours. Vladika, please.
In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Okay, is this coming through? Okay. my notes. It seems to me that St. Alexis Toth was like the man who discovered a treasure hidden in a field, a pearl of great price. And he sacrificed everything to acquire that pearl of great price. And that sacrifice that he made, giving up his community, giving up his the church of his ordination, giving up the church in which he was raised, to not only himself embrace the Orthodox faith, but to lead hundreds of communities and thousands of people into the Orthodox Church, was an act of great courage. He was like the man who was given a talent. And when the master came to take back what was his, the man gave it back to him, and tenfold. The work of St. Alexis bore so much fruit in bringing thousands of people into the Orthodox Church, of establishing a firm foundation within the Slavic Orthodox community for the growth of Orthodoxy, especially in the Northeast. Of course, being from the West, everything kind of, this side of the mountains is the East. Then there's the Far East, where I have to dwell now. But if we think about it in these terms, if we think about mission in terms of these parables of Christ, and we think about it in terms of the work of St. Alexis, St. Alexis was a tremendous missionary. He took an immense risk going out to the Russian bishop in San Francisco to bring his people under the Russian bishop. You know, this was kind of unknown territory. He was from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. You know, the Russians were the enemy from the other side of the border. And yet he knew what he needed to do for the sake of his people. He knew what he needed to do out of love for Christ and out of love for his people, to get them into a place where there would be a firm foundation for their life, a firm foundation for their faith, and the ability to grow and to prosper and to multiply that faith, and to multiply the fruit of that work of bringing those people into the Orthodox faith. That truly is a missionary spirit. Throughout most of his life, after that first encounter with Bishop Vladimir in San Francisco, he toiled endlessly, bringing personally 100 communities or more into the Orthodox faith. Eventually, there were about 300 communities that followed in this movement. St. Alexis joins that great group of missionaries who struggled, who suffered, who sacrificed to establish Orthodox Christianity in this land, starting with the Valaam monks from 1794 and going all the way through to St. Alexis's contemporary, St. Tikhon, and through the many, many people who have struggled over this past century to establish Orthodoxy here. As the Orthodox Church in America, we owe a great debt to St. Alexis, because so many of those parishes became the very foundation of what later became the Orthodox Church in America. And what it has grown to is an extremely diverse community of people reflecting every nationality, every ethnic group, every race, every color. It's far transcended any kind of ethnic boundaries, where the only criterion for membership in the church is faith in Jesus Christ. The only criterion is that apostolic faith which has been given to us once and for all. And it is precisely this mission that we now are called to not only examine, not only to give thanks for, but to emulate. Too long, I think, over some of the past years, we've taken our treasure and hidden it in a field. We've made it somehow inaccessible to people. The Orthodox Church in America, through its mission, has broken through that and has started bringing forth fruit. But we have a long way to go. I believe it's critically important for us to embrace an aggressive missionary stance, to make known the Orthodox faith throughout our land, the entire land of North America, to enable and to make possible for as many people as who wish to get it into this ark of salvation, that reality of their reception into the Orthodox Church. Our church has become a very healthy mixture of people who have been born and raised in the faith and those who have converted as adults. Of course, our Holy Synod is 90% people who have converted as adults. And we only have one bishop who was born and raised in the faith currently. And among our priesthood, a very large percent are converts. This is something of the most important, this is the most important and of great value, because it shows that we are no longer simply a church of immigrants. We are a local, indigenous, territorial church. Who do we aim our mission at? Anybody who lives on our continent. No matter what language they speak, no matter what the color of their skin, no matter what their religious past has been. The message of the Orthodox Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the fullness of its integrity, which is what Orthodoxy is the very content, and it must become and must be the very content of who we are. It's so easy to get all distracted by other agendas, by ethnic agendas, by political agendas, by jurisdictional agendas. But all of those really are distractions from the one thing needful. The most important place that we have to start is with ourselves. We have to look and see within ourselves, how am I measuring up in my life as a Christian? Where am I? Am I living a life of repentance? Or am I making excuses? Am I preaching the gospel by my life? Am I embracing and loving my neighbor? Or do I tear them down and criticize and judge and condemn? Our lives have to preach the gospel. And that is far more important than any words we can say. Because we can use a great torrent of words, but if our lives do not measure up, our words will be empty and of no effect. It's the transformation of our lives, the healing of our souls, the acceptance of the forgiveness of our sins, our self-offering to Jesus Christ, and our conforming to His will by cutting off our own, is the very means by which we take that gospel of Jesus Christ and make it our own, and let our lives be transformed by it. When we read the Holy Scriptures, it's not that we sit there and we criticize the Scriptures, oh, I like this, I don't like that, oh, you know, this is good, this is bad. We don't do that. We let the Holy Scriptures judge us. We don't judge the Holy Scriptures. This way we can learn to know what is the will of God for ourselves. We can know how it is that God wants us to be and to behave and to act towards other people. And through doing this, gradually our lives are transfigured. Gradually we submit ourselves to the will of God and conform ourselves to the will of God. And then when people come into our communities, they feel embraced. They feel loved. Not judged, but loved. And it heals their souls. And it gives them hope. And it gives them joy. To be an Orthodox Christian is about receiving the fullness of the hope of our salvation. And letting that hope penetrate into the very depths of our being, casting out all darkness, casting out all that would drag us down and keep us imprisoned in the values of this world, in those values which lead only to despair. And it's precisely this hope that our world, that our culture, that our society, that our nation, that our people need. It's the hope that to know that there is more to life than getting rich. It's the hope to know that there's more to life than building up a big 401k, you know, and having it totally stable and safe. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than the fancy BMW or Mercedes. And that life is found in the church. And that life is what is, and that life is not simply a human life that is lived just in an institution, but it's a divine life. It's the very life of God which pours forth into us from the sacraments, from the grace of God which is given to us so freely as a gift, free gift of His love, if only we will accept it. This is the content of our message. It's not a message of judgment. Oh, you're going to go to hell if you don't stop doing that. That doesn't help. Doesn't help. It doesn't help to say, oh, you're a Catholic and therefore you're going to go to hell and you're going to be damned, or you're a Protestant or a Pentecostal or whatever, a Buddhist or Hindu. That is not helpful. That's not really missionary. That's, for the most part, only boosting our own ego. But what is our message? God loves you. God forgives you. Come give thanks to God. And through that thanksgiving, you'll find meaning and hope for your life. Right now in our Orthodox Church in America, we're confronted with several different groups that are looking to enter. A number of these groups are former Anglicans. I was raised in the Anglican Church myself. These are people who feel like their church has abandoned them, that the church that they knew growing up has disappeared. There may be the shell of the building, but what goes on inside of it, they can't recognize. They don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't hear what they're looking for, which is precisely that integrity of the apostolic faith, which was the hope that was put into them, instilled as children. We have groups of Native Americans in Central America who are looking to us to be received into the Orthodox Church in America. Tens or hundreds of thousands of people. The other day I was talking with somebody, and he was saying, "Oh, our OCA, it's like we're like struggling in this little lifeboat with a leaky hull, and the waves are big, and the storm is coming up, and, you know, and, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" You know, kind of throw up our hands and panic. And I said, "No. That's not who we are. Yes. We've gone through some rough seas. Yes, there may have been a few leaks in the hull. But we're not stuck in a lifeboat. We're in a big ship. And that ship has room for thousands and thousands of more people. Because that ship itself is the ark of salvation. We can choose to have this, you know, very kind of negative, paranoid, panicking kind of approach. Oh, you know, this person is after us, and this person doesn't like us, and oh, they'll revoke our autocephaly, and oh, you know, the Greeks will do something to us, and so-and-so will do something to us, and oh, they'll become Catholic. God only knows, you know, what in the kind of paranoia. The fear. And we need to set all of that aside. And to take our rightful place within the community of the Orthodox churches in this country. To take our rightful place as the local territorial indigenous church for all of those who are Americans, no matter where they were born, no matter what language they speak, no matter what color their skin is. That this is the church for all who are Americans and who desire the fullness of the apostolic faith. One of the first places we have to start with this is in our college campuses, working with the OCF organizations that exist on over 250 campuses across our country. Why do we have to start there? It's because kids who are in college are in a place where they're trying to make decisions about their lives, trying to decide who they are. But there are also a lot of kids in college who are angry, who are broken, who are hurt, who are abused. Kids in college who have never known love, who have never been valued. we can read, who are so lonely that they're looking to anything that they can find to anesthetize the pain. And it's precisely here that we have the right solution for them: faith in Jesus Christ, an entrance into the Holy Church, and a life lived in repentance, which means being transformed in the renewal of your mind. We can be like that man in the Lord's parable who took the talent that was given to him and out of fear went and hid it and buried it. And then when the master came seeking what was his, the servant gave it to him without gain or increase. We all know what happened to that servant. That talent was taken from that servant and given to the guy who had 10 already. And the gospel, in one of the gospels, it even says, Lord, he already has 10. Are we going to be like that man who lives in fear and paranoia, hoarding this incredible treasure that has been given to us of the Orthodox faith, keeping it for ourselves, keeping all of those strangers out of our churches, turning them away? And there are places where people are turned away. I've never heard of any, never found anything so tragic in my life. Or are we going to be like the one who, having received one, trades and makes 10, who bears fruit 10-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold? And what is that fruit? It's the salvation of souls. It's giving people hope. It's giving people a context and meaning to their lives. And in the process, revealing the kingdom of God and opening wide the doors of the kingdom so that whoever wants to come in may come in. This is our task. The fields are white for the harvest. Not only college campuses, but everywhere we go, we need to be preaching the gospel by our lives. How do we treat one another? How do we treat the clerk at the store? How do we treat the guy at the gas station? How do we treat our co-workers? How do we treat our family? How do we manifest that love for one another that embraces and overflows and includes everyone? And itself is the sacrament of the revelation of Christ, that manifestation of his love. There are words of the Lord that echo through my mind. He said, "The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people bearing the fruits of it." Let us bear fruit, not only so that the kingdom of God is not taken from us, but so that the kingdom of God is revealed to a nation, to a people, to a continent, thirsting for the consolation of Christ. And then we too, if we are faithful stewards and bring forth fruit and multiply that fruit, then we too will join with all of the chorus of the saints, of all of those missionaries who have gone forth and proclaimed the kingdom. Like St. Alexis, like St. Raphael, like St. Tikhon, like St. Innocent, like St. Herman, and so many hundreds and thousands of others who have worked on this continent. Christ is risen. Amen.